1 Kings chapter number 19, when you find your place, if you please stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm going to preach out of this whole chapter, but for the sake of time, I'm going to read the first four verses here. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I not make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, and belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I want to preach a little bit on the lessons of discouragement. The lessons of discouragement. Now, here we have Elijah, all discouraged. He's ready to throw in the towel. He's ready to quit. He in fact, asked God to take his life. Now, it's a strange set of circumstance, indeed, when we look at this. A lot of times, when we see someone discouraged, it's because they've had one defeat after the other, and they just get fed up. But here we have a man of God, that had one of the greatest victories ever. I mean, he single-handedly faced 450 prophets of Baal, but there was also 400 prophets of the groves. So he challenged them, and he faced them, and a great victory was won. And then if we go previous to that, and remember he came to King Ahab and basically got in his face, basically, and said, it's your wickedness that will bring God's judgment upon Israel. And it didn't rain. He said it wasn't going to rain. It didn't rain for 3 years. And then during that time, we see that God led his man to be fed. Now, think about this. For 3 years, he used ravens and a widow woman to feed Elijah. Can you imagine that? That God took care of him. Now, you would think, as we talked about before, a raven is one of those birds, is a ravenous bird. It wants to eat everything, amen? If it sees something on the road, it's after it, amen? Can you imagine a bird like that? God used a bird like that to bring him food. And it wouldn't surprise me if maybe those birds didn't go to the king's table and steal some of the king's food and take it back to Elijah. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. But all I know is that God took care of them at the brook Cherith. He took care of them there. But then after that, he sent them to a widow woman. And the widow woman took care of them. So for those 3 years now, he's been taken care of. And then we come to this part where all of a sudden he challenges these prophets. And of course, we know the story there in chapter number 18. And he basically said, okay, here's a bullet for me. Here's a bullet for you guys. You dress it up there. You put it there. And the God that answers by fire is the real God. And so he said, all right, you guys go first. And they go out there and they start hooping and hollering to their God and cutting themselves and everything else. And Elijah's mocking them, you know, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he can't hear you. Scream a little louder. And so he was giving them a hard time. And of course, Elijah was confident that nothing was going to happen, and nothing happened. But then he comes on the scene and says, now it's my turn. Now I'll show you who the true God is. And he puts that bullock down. And not only that, he takes water and pours water all over that thing. Has trenches around there. The trenches are full of water. And he prays to God, and God answers by fire. And so here he's won that great victory. And after that, we see that the prophets of Baal, basically, he tells the people, get rid of them. They kill them. So this great victory's won, and then he basically says, all right, it's getting ready to rain. They hadn't rained in 3 years. And he tells them it's going to rain. And we see at the end of chapter number 18, it in fact rained. So after victory, after victory, after victory, all of a sudden now we come to the next chapter, and all of a sudden he's discouraged. And I'm thinking, how can you be discouraged? But what reason did he give? Verse number 10. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So here's he saying, this is the problem. It's only me, Lord. And I'm tired. It's just me that's facing them. Amen? And so he's saying, I'm the only one left. And now they're seeking after my life. He says, God, just take my life. But God tells them later, if you look at chapter 18, he says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. In other words, Elijah, you're not alone. You may think you're alone, but you're not alone. And can I tell you this, Christian, you can get discouraged when you start thinking you're all alone. When you start thinking, well, it's just me. You're not alone. Amen? And so here we see he's discouraged. He's thinking he's all alone. Now, what I don't understand when I first look at this is chapter 18, you were all alone then. You stood and challenged the prophets of Baal. You stood toe-to-toe with them. 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of the grove. That's 850 of them. And you were confident that God was going to give you the victory. Now you say you're all alone and you're discouraged. What happened? He had no problem before. Why all of a sudden does he have a problem? He had a confidence problem. He was confident in God. And then now when the Jezebel throws out this threat, all of a sudden he forgets about God. He kind of puts God on the back burner, and all of a sudden it becomes a personal issue with him. Amen? And now all of a sudden his confidence is gone. What happened to his confidence? Why did it go south very quickly? Well, it doesn't tell us. Maybe things didn't go. Now, we know he won the victory. We know that the prophets of Baal were taken care of and everything else. But maybe it didn't go his way. Maybe he thought that the people would get rid of Ahab and Jezebel as well. And maybe put him in a prominent position. I don't know. We don't know the reasoning. We don't know what it might be. But maybe things just didn't go exactly as he wanted them to go. And can I tell you, a lot of times when things don't go exactly like we want them to go, we get discouraged. But we need to think, and Elijah should have thought, you know what? God's in control. This may have not went the way I wanted it to go, but God knew it was going to go this way. God is not caught off guard. He's never surprised by anything. He knows what's going to happen. So if God gets glory out of this, why should I get discouraged? Why should I even think about this issue? The problem and the reason he ran is he took God out of the equation. Now before, God was in the front of the equation when he faced the prophets. But now all of a sudden he's running. He left God behind. He just took off. He didn't even think about, you know what? Hey, God just gave me a great victory over here. And now this one little woman thinks she can mess with God's man? She's not going to be able to take me on as long as I have you, God. No, he didn't think of that. He just took off. He just ran. And you know what? He needs to understand, just like we need to understand today. During this time, listen, it's not popular serving God. It's never been popular serving God. Can I tell you that? Don't think that you serving God that you're going to have everybody just think the world of you. Because the Bible tells us that the world is enmity with God. And Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. He's already told us that. So don't think because you're not popular that you should get discouraged and just quit serving God. Listen, we need to serve God. We need to do what God would tell us to do. Amen? They hated Him, as He said. They're going to hate us. So we need to understand that when we do things and they don't go our way, don't get discouraged, thinking, you know what, I tried to win these worldly people to the Lord and they didn't come, and in fact, they're mad at me, cursing me. It's easy to get discouraged when you knock on door and knock on another door and knock on another door and knock on another door. Well, did anyone trust Christ as their Savior? No. Someone cussed me out or someone slammed the door on me. You know what? You're doing God's work. Keep doing it. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit just because someone got mad at you or someone slammed the door in your face. Amen? We need to keep going on. Listen, we see that Elijah had some problems here, and I want you to look at this real closely. Notice he says here that Jezebel was after him because Jezebel sent a messenger that said that she was going to take his life. And he was just broken up by this thing. And the truth is, he really didn't want to die. He told God in verse 4, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. So he seems to be saying, God, I don't want to live anymore. Well, if he really felt that way, why didn't he stay there and let Jezebel kill him? He didn't want to die. Problem was, he started relying on his feelings. And that can be dangerous for a Christian, is to rely on our feelings. He all of a sudden just lived off those feelings. What he wanted was people to feel sorry for him. And when he crawled up under that juniper tree, now they say those juniper trees, in essence, were like bushes. So you'd have to get really low to get under one. And you know what? Spiritually, a lot of times that's what we do. We get really low. You have to be really low to get under one of them. And there he is. God, just take my life. I'm through. I quit. I throw in the towel. I give up. What's the use? See, the problem was he wasn't trusting in God. He was trusting in his feelings. His feelings were leading him wrong. His feelings were saying, well, that didn't go the way you wanted it to go. Well, you're not as popular as you thought you were. Boy, she threatened you. She said she was going to kill you today. And he let his feelings take over. He let his emotions take over. And can I tell you this? When you're serving God and you start to get discouraged, don't let your feelings take over. Look to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. Amen? With your help and with your strength, I'm going to continue going on. I'm not quitting. Amen? I'm not going to back down. Amen? But he, because of his discouragement, he ran away and got under that juniper tree. Second, he had a problem with following. I want you to notice, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I want you to look here. It says, and Elijah, verse 1, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord, I want you to see this, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, in other words, the Lord spoke to him, get thee thence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The Bible tells us there that the brook in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, it's interesting where God sent him. Because during this time, who was after him? Ahab and Jezebel. They wanted to kill him. He went, God led him to Zidon. Guess what? That's where Jezebel was from. So he went to her own backyard, and a widow woman took care of him. Now I want you to flip back over here to our story in chapter number 19. Verse 2, and Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Notice the next words. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Here, Elijah had a problem with following. What did we see in chapter 17 that we did not see in chapter 19? What was different? God spoke to him. He waited for God to speak to him, and here he didn't wait for God to speak to him. He took off. He decided to go his own way, do things his own way, instead of relying on God. If God protected you before, could not God protect you now? But what he did is, all of a sudden, he had a problem with following. He decided to do things his own way, and he went his own way, instead of waiting on God. And can I tell you this? When you stop waiting to hear God and do your own thing, you're going to get further and further and further in discouragement. Don't do things on your own. I've done it in the past, and I know some of you have done it in the past. You pray about something, you're waiting for God's guidance and direction, and because you don't get an answer within a week, you're going to go your own direction. Can I tell you? It's going to defeat you. You're going to get discouraged because you're going the wrong way. Wait on God. Wait for Him to tell you what direction to go to. See, he had a problem with his feelings. He had a problem with following. Then also, look at verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. What happened here? Elijah had a problem with fellowship. The one person that could be there to be an encouragement to him, his servant, he left. And he went on his own. He was all alone by himself. And I've seen people get in church, they get discouraged, start going their own way, and what happens? They get alone, and it's all downhill from there. I love to hear the testimony of Brother Smith when he talks about how we one day came to his door. Sister Dee Dee knocked on his door. Now, he went to church all his life. He had been in a church and some things were going on that he wasn't too happy about, and he got discouraged and he was kind of looking. He didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden she came and told him about our church, because someone was there talking to him. And one day I preached a message about being under the juniper tree, and he come to me afterwards and he said, you know what? When you guys knocked on my door, he said, I wasn't under a juniper tree. He said, I was under a whole, a whole forest of juniper trees. See, it's dangerous to be alone. These people that quit church because they get their feelings hurt, now that wasn't his case. He did not want to be back at that church because of some of the things that were going on that were wrong. But I'm saying, I've seen people just, if they don't get their way, they quit church. And they go out, and now you knock on their door and they talk about the hypocrites in the church. And now they've gotten content with the way
it is of being out of church because they've got alone. They don't have someone there to encourage. What are we supposed to do with one another? We're supposed to build each other up in the faith. We're supposed to encourage each other. And listen, you can't encourage them if they're not there. If they're all alone, who's going to encourage them? Listen, it's important. Listen, when things are going bad, get around God's people. But I know sometimes you know what happens. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know what? Some of the people you shouldn't be around. Because all they do is discourage you even more. You need to be around some people to encourage you. Amen? Maybe some of these people that get out, if you'd call them up and say, you know what, I miss you. Boy, I really enjoyed having you in church. I just miss you being there. You know what? The Lord laid it on my heart. I wanted to take you out to eat. They need some encouragement. See, because they're out there all by themselves. Listen, Elijah left his servant and went all alone by himself. And no one was there to encourage him. Amen? And it's so easy for us. Here he is saying, the queen seeks my life. What should I do? No, he just took off. And now he's by himself and he's discouraged. A lot of times someone gets, the devil will plant some seed in their head thinking, you know what, that church doesn't appreciate you. You need to just leave that. And you know what happens? You get out, you get by yourself, and it's all downhill from there. Amen? He was all alone. He had no one there. Didn't he understand that the plan and the providence of God would take care of him? Listen, if God didn't want Elijah to die right there that day as she pledged it, he wasn't going to die. It didn't matter if she had 400 soldiers facing him. If God didn't want him to die, he wouldn't have died. It's so easy a lot of times when things get dangerous for Christians to just run away. I'm thankful as I see the news of some of these bakeries that have been sued that they're standing their ground. Amen? Listen, I don't know all their faith. I don't know the exact doctrines they believe, but it blesses me to see that they took a stand and say, you know what? We're not going to do it. We're not going to make a cake for a bunch of sodomites. We're not going to make a cake for a bunch of lesbians. Hey, that's their right. And if our country was right and would go by the Constitution that's out there, they have that right. Listen, why don't they go to... I guarantee there's plenty of bakeries they could go to and get one of them cakes. But no, they're going to go after those people because they want them done. They want them out. But if you're serving God, you just make your stand. Amen? Just make your stand. Don't worry about that. But we need to be around one another to encourage one another. You know what? There's strength in numbers. Amen? There's strength in numbers. Now, what was God's response to all this discouragement as he starts out here? Well, look what he does. He said he slept under a juniper tree, verse 5. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. God sent an angel to touch him. He gave him food, it says, and he looked, and behold, there was cake and bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink, and he went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now I want you to think about this. He was discouraged. He was ready to throw in the towel. He was ready to quit. And God sent an angel. What is an angel? What's the word for an angel? An angel is a messenger. He sent an angel to feed him, to give him strength. You know what? We're all God's messengers. Every one of us are God's, if you're saved, we're messengers. And it's our job when someone gets discouraged to go out to them
and say, eat. This is what they need. They need the Word of God. This is what's going to cure them, the Word of God. But someone needs to bring the message to them. Because if they've left and run away, we need to bring the message to them. Amen?
God sent an angel to deliver that message, that food that they needed. This is our food. Amen? The Word of God is our food. Amen? And so here he says, listen, he used that, the food and the water, and what happened? It gave them strength. Notice that the strength wasn't him. Because the angel said, the journey is too great for thee. But yet he made the journey. Why? Because he went in the strength of the Lord. When we get weak, when we get discouraged and we feel like quitting, we need the Word. This Word strengthens us. It gets us to where we get focused back. We refocus on what's important. Hey, we're serving the Lord. Why did it get discouraged? Because, well, you know, I knocked on door after door and month after month and no one's coming. And so you're going to quit? Listen, we need to get busy and do the Lord's work. Listen, the Lord gave him strength and the Lord will give you strength. Notice this. It says here, and he came hither into a cave and lodged there. Boy, talk about being a loner. Not too many people associate with a bunch of people in caves, do they? He's hiding. Amen? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? What is Elijah doing?
Can anyone tell me, what is Elijah doing?
Nothing. Elijah was a man of God, and he was going out, and he was giving the word, and he was pronouncing God's judgment on people that weren't doing right. And he brought a mighty victory, amen, against the prophets of Baal. Now he's doing nothing. He gets the strength, and he sits in a cave. A lot of Christians, that's what we do. We sit in a cave, doing nothing. God wants us to do something. Not nothing. And God speaks to him. Can I tell you this? We need to let him speak to us when we get discouraged. But I notice here in this, as he talks about he's the only one left, look at God's response to him in verse 15. The Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, it says there, shall be thou anointed to be prophet in thy room. In other words, he's going to take your place. And it came to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. What is God saying in essence here? In these verses, what is he saying to him? He was in a cave doing nothing. God says, do something. God's given him a job to do. Not only one, he's given him three jobs to do. It's time we got our strength back. We got into the Word of God. It's time we listen to Him. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, that you listen instead of being under your juniper tree feeling sorry for yourself. Listen to what the Lord says. What's the Lord telling you to do? What's the Lord telling me to do? And when He tells you what to do, He specifically gave Him some things to do, you do them. You do them. Listen. Let us get strength from them. Let us listen to them. And let us get back to work. You know how to get rid of discouragement? That's it right there. get in His Word to get strengthened. Listen to Him through the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. And don't quit. Don't sit around doing nothing. Get busy. You know what? The devil loves when people are idle. He can use you more when you're idle than he can when you're working. Because when you're working and you're busy doing the Lord's work, the only thing he wants to do is get you to stop, get you to quit. And he'll try to discourage you. But if you get in this Word, if you get in this book, and you listen to God, God, show me something. What would you have me to do? That's what I love about the conversion of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul on that road to Damascus. You know he got saved there. And what's the first thing he said? Lord, what will thou have me to do? In other words, I'm ready to get busy. I was busy working for that sorry devil. Now I want to work for you. And can I tell you this? I don't know how much time, Brother Tim, you have left on this earth. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. But I do know this. God wants me to work till that last day. He wants you to work till that last day. He does not like seeing His church with empty pew here, empty pew there, empty pew there, empty pew there, empty pew there. Those pews are not empty because of God. Those pews are empty because we've gotten under a few juniper trees and felt sorry for ourselves. Oh, this is hard. I can't do it. Well, I know you can't, but God can. And we need to trust Him and just say, God, we're going to do it Your way. And when you get discouraged, you get into this Word and let the Word speak to your heart. And let the Word say, you know what? This is what I'd have you to do. Because if you listen, if you get in this Word, you get on your knees and you pray to God, God will answer. Amen? God won't leave you hanging. Sometimes I'll get a call, I'll pick it up, and I'll say, hello, hello. I hear something. Someone's on that line. And it goes silent. Can I tell you this? When you go to the Lord, He'll answer. He'll talk to you. Amen? But now, if you got all this sin in your life and you want to live in sin, He's not going to answer that. But if you're willing to get rid of that sin and just say, God, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Listen, He'll listen. It's time Grace Baptist Church got out from under that tree, got the strength from His Word, listened to the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart, and got busy working. Go back working. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time when Your Word. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, Lord. It's so easy if we let our feelings take over, if we kind of shun the fellowship and shun the following. Lord, it's easy for us to get discouraged and want to quit. Lord, I just ask and pray that You send a messenger our way with Your Word. May we get into the Word of God, pray, seeking Your will. As I believe with all my heart, You will answer. You will tell us what to do. And we need to just do it. Help us to be Your obedient servants. Help us to know that our strength comes from above and our guidance through the Holy Spirit, that we can do anything because of You. There's nothing impossible with You, God. And I pray that You would just encourage. I don't know who's here that maybe has gotten discouraged, wanting to give up, wanting to throw in the towel. Lord, speak to their heart. Lord, show them. Lord, You'll give them strength, Lord, to keep on going. And in the end, it'll be worth it all. In Jesus' precious name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you're here, the Lord has spoke to your heart. Hey, that's the time to answer. Why don't you come?